Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 277. How are we all doing? Jonathan's abandoned us, hasn't he? Very short-sighted. That, very, very short-sighted. What you should have done, Jonathan, was come in the chat, post the questions, we give you the answers, because he's at a quiz. And I feel that would have been a useful use of our time tonight. Oh, we could have had fun. But have vicariously partaken of Johnny's quiz. But okay. He's chosen to abandon us. What can I say? Hope you have a lovely night, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. And with Johnny at his quiz, Kim is in first. Gross oversight last night, wasn't there, Kim? Because I got my days mixed up. You're lucky I know it's December. In fact, you're lucky I know it's 2020. You know that blissful state when it's the Christmas holiday and you have not a clue what day it is? That hit. Because it was Kim's birthday yesterday. Cards have been sent. Little treats will be on their way. So a huge happy birthday for yesterday, Kim. Oh, and by the way, I did celebrate your birthday by watching that documentary. OMG, I had no idea. When you were saying how bad it was, I was like, but surely somebody's in charge. And how can you defund the police? And now I know. Oh, that was absolutely terrifying. The fact that that kind of social experiment could be anywhere. That could be us this time next year. That was absolutely terrifying. So thank you for sharing that link. Put it in again in case people missed it. Hello, Tracy. Hello, Paul. I bet it's all getting lovely down under, isn't it? Because here it's been chaotic. We've got more people complaining about the Christmas rules, and as if that wasn't bad enough. Got a press conference tonight from Downing Street. Yeah, I know you're thinking, oh, not another one. Not another COVID one. No, Brexit. It's like a perfect storm brewing here for January, I'm telling you. We're on to the third wave in some places. Oh, and there's now only 2% of the population under a tier one. The rest of us are, guess where we are? Reviewed today. Figures down. We've got one of the lowest rates in the country. What tier are we in? Three. United are spitting bullets. Because United were actually selling tickets for a match on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday at Old Trafford. They were going to have 2,000 fans. It was all going to be fabulous. I think they were banking on the fact we'd come out of a tier three, but we're not. So they're behind closed doors. As you were, nothing to see. Move along. You are very, very welcome, Kim. You love the city of Seattle so much it makes you cry. I'm not surprised, because what was really strange was when they pulled back in the long shots, and you could see, which was very close to the end of the documentary, and you could see the space needly thing and the Bay Area. It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. But when you saw the bits that were like, I couldn't understand all the rioting, you know, what they're rioting for. But then you see it and you realise, and it's just so sad. The guy with the shop who'd had a bike shop and he'd been there all those years and he had to move on, and all the other shops shutting. I mean, we've had shops shutting here for a long time. Centre of Manchester badly hit, but also other areas, particularly if they're not on the tram line. So they built a tram line from Altrincham, which is very close to us. That's just touching the north of Cheshire, which is the next county down. And it goes all the way through. So it goes all the way through South Manchester into Manchester town centre, out the other side of Manchester town centre, and then goes all the way through to a place called Bury. And when that came in, technically speaking, at one end of the line, you've got Bury, and at the other end of the line, you've got Altrincham. And you would think, well, you know, they've both got exactly the same opportunities then for their town centres to be vibrant. No, Altrincham's is just closing down. Bury, absolutely thriving. And you think, why? And it was because Altrincham thought they were a cut above everybody else and started putting the prices up for parking and rents. And in the end, the shops couldn't afford to stay there, so they all started closing down. They knocked down half of it in the end and built a hospital. But Bury went the other way. And Bury Market has won the Market of the Year in the UK. I think it's 5 times about the last 8 years. So for them, it worked. For the other end, no, it didn't. But anywhere that's not on the tram line, shops are closing down because people want to get there on the tram line. But that was just horrific. People walking in and just like walking out with stuff without paying. What happened? Unbelievable. Oh, the Seahawks have already made a decision. No fans. I think United should make that decision instead of playing around. They seem to be making busy work for themselves. I didn't realise, but when the season tickets were available, they should have been paid for last May for this year. Mike took the decision not to do that because that was an option. But there was also an option to pay if you wanted. And some people have. So United are now, every time there's a match and there's no fans, they're making busy work for their staff because they've got to give refunds on that match. You're like, well, why did you sell the season tickets anyway? Because that meant work. Then the season tickets had to be sent out. That meant work. And now you've got to do refunds and that means work. Why are you doing that? That made no sense to me, but that's where they're at. Oh, yeah, the other story that came out today, and I was laughing like a drain, but actually it was quite horrific, was people, it was on the BBC, and it was talking about an article about how couples are coping with home working. And I must admit, I looked at it and thought, what's to cope with? You know, did I miss something? What is to cope with? But then I read it, oh, good grief, there was two people who got divorced. Another one has taken a great approach, I thought, which is they painted a wall with blackboard paint and they chalk their schedule onto it so they can do a comparison to see who's got the most important meeting so they get access to more of the tech. Genius. But I'll put the link in. It's well worth a read. Has anybody else seriously had much trouble with working from home or being at home? Is it just us that's blissfully blessed? Mike's loving it because he gets to spend more time with Lola. And me, obviously. I think I come a poor second to the dog, but you never mind. You know, he would, like last Christmas when he was with his mum and dad, and he was there for 3 weeks. I think I saw him twice in 3 weeks. Once was when he came back for more clothes, and the second one was the day of the funeral. We found that way more difficult. Being apart from each other for 3 weeks was way more difficult than being together for 3 weeks. But that could just be me. I like to think I'm incredibly blessed. One of the other ones on there was a couple. Both had high-powered jobs and a child. And the child was in full-time nursery care. I must admit, I can see the logic if you both got jobs. But then why is having a family so important? Because you really haven't got the time. Anyway. They both ended up working from home and the guy refused point blank to have anything to do with the kid. That was her job. Really? What decade did he come out of? Anyway, I think they split up, which is just so sad. So if everything had gone on as normal, they'd still be together. Ah, bizarre. And I see Tracy's perfectly happy. I'm presuming that that's auto-corrected from reclining chair, but you never know. A reckoning chair could be a good thing to have in an office.
Wet playtime.
Is it wet playtime?
Wet playtime.
But now you're getting dressed up for your Catanian meeting. Oh, that's a good way to hide. Right, let me take a photo and share that. Let me grab the camera. Right, let's put it on portrait, shall we? Hang on. Oh, you're doing the big jazz hands thing. Let's see if it got that. Oh, look at that. Look at his little face.
Yeah, can you uncrease the shirt?
I was going to say the shirt's seen better days, hasn't it? All right, let's send it over there and crop it first. I had to take that from quite far back to get the glory of your hat in. Oh, now it's playing around
it
with me.
My hair, doesn't it?
Do you know, is that, well, yes, clearly it is a problem, isn't it? Because people have commented about it.
Yes.
Like the length of Mike's hair is some kind of international incident.
It's a talking point. Have you not done your hair?
No, because we've not been out, because we're not stupid like you are. Oh, that you're not allowed to say that, are you?
What?
Not stupid like you are.
Well, you've said it now.
No, I mean to.
Live on global radio. Anyway, happy birthday, Kimmy.
Yeah, she kept that very quiet, didn't she? But luckily, I stumbled across it.
May your lockdown birthday week be full of birthdays.
It's a whole week.
It's a whole
full
week.
Full of fun. Right, yeah. Let's save a copy of that. And I'm trying to get this up to Cloud App, which is pretty tricky given I haven't got Cloud App installed. But never mind, I'll get there in the end. Right. Oh, Lola was chunnering earlier, wasn't she? They missed all
she
of that.
She was.
Right. Send to Cloud App. Don't have logged me out again. Honestly, it logs me out as soon as it's finished. Ah, right, no, it's not. Right, the link has been sent to the clipboard. Right, so that means I only need to get it to you guys. Which is not going to be as easy as you would imagine.
Anyway, she's whittled and she's tugged. And she ate a what's it?
And Dentistic. I have a bag of Dentisticks in case she starts. Right, so I've got the link for that. So I need to get that in here. Why is life more complicated when I've not got the right software? Right, so I need to go to...
Do you realise
no.
My mother's done something I've not?
Oh, yes. This is shocking. Absolutely shocking. Go on, do share.
My mother's updated to iOS 14.
Well, if we're being technical,
well,
she
didn't have to do it. Well, it was forced on her, actually.
Technical support people said, oh, we'll just update you. Be fine. And I'm thinking, run for the hills. That which is actually quite appropriate, isn't it? Seeing as though she called Hillary.
True.
Yes, run for the hills. So she did. And she's all iOS 14 and happy.
Well, and, don't know about happy.
Well, the phone didn't cut out. I did the ringing thing. She rang me, but a little bit early, I'm afraid. She must think I'm up at an alarmingly early time. But seeing as though I didn't go to bed till 8 o'clock. Right, have I finally... Paste. Ooh, I think I have. There we go. Awesome. Right, so where were we? We were in the reckoning chair, which I quite like the idea of myself. Oh, don't correct it, Tracy. I'm liking reckoning. I'm going to buy myself one of those. That'll be fabulous. So you're perfectly happy. Or on the sofa, rather than upright chair. Well, that, obviously there's no change for me, but it's a serious question, Mike. Is there anything about work you miss?
No.
What are you looking at now?
I'm zooming in.
He's admiring himself.
Look at my hair.
Is there anything wrong with your hair?
Oh, there's plenty wrong with it.
Well, tuck it up inside the Santa hat. No one's going to notice.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
It's ladies' night tonight. Sadly, I'm busy. I don't mean that. You know that, don't you?
What are you doing?
I'm choosing to be here with you guys.
Another chew stick from them.
She's not getting another chew stick until you're ensconced in the office, in the studio. Because if she sees you, look at her face. That is the face of a child who's saying, I'm going to play mummy off it against daddy. Wily dog. So, Tracy's all for yes, absolutely happy from home. Kim's grateful to be staying at home. Absolutely. Anthony's really enjoying working from home. Can I honestly say, the mental health of the MacBiters is absolutely pristine. Spot on.
Right, I need my iPhone.
We're not suffering at all, are we?
Don't forget there's a game at 8.
I won't forget there's a game because it's on Amazon. Did I say prior engagement? Yes, Lola, when Daddy's gone in there, look what Mummy's got. Bag of treats. More Dentisticks and you can shake his stick out. Right, so Anthony's enjoying it. Kept the same routine as what I was going into the office, except getting up a bit later. You don't have to commute. You see, it's perfect, isn't it?
Right,
I do appreciate some people have got small houses. One of the ones in that article, it was a townhouse, so quite a small house. But, you know, it's not like you need a photocopier the size of the one at the church, which is bigger than our bathroom. You know, they're all saying, aren't they? iPads. Yep, iPad only. What has Mike done here? He's ripped the bag here.
Where?
It's your naughty daddy.
Where have I ripped
the bag? There. The clip opens at the top and you've gone in at the side.
Oh.
It's a good job I bought a packet of 100, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? I'll get another one out.
Oh, there we go. Right, give me a bag and I'll decant them. Look at her. Look at her, she's drooling. Go and settle in and we'll see you later. Yeah, there, the commute and stuff is, I mean, that's huge for Mike, because that would be at least 90 minutes a day. What's your problem? You're not having this without high fives. There's a high five and there's a high five. Right, good girl. Now, if I can just bend this in half and convince her she's had a whole one. No, that's not going to work. I'm going to need a pair of scissors. In fact, I could do with some garden shears. Yeah, it would be at least 90 minutes, but possibly as much as 2 hours a day, which over 5 days is 10 hours a week that he can do his own stuff. So, yeah, for Mike, it's like this is like holiday time, but with pay. Right, you go and eat that. I've got the other half for when you come back and say that was too small. Ah, Kim's wearing COVID clothes every day. Clothes you seem to be ruining with the bleach and wanting to save for better days. I must admit, I don't know what's happened, but I've got a T-shirt, a grey one. I've got two grey T-shirts, but the majority of my T-shirts are blue. But these two grey ones were comfortable. And I don't know what's happened, but I've developed two holes in them. And I don't know where from. We do blame the washing powder. Many years ago, they brought out this washing powder. And my mum was always like, oh, I'm up for trying a new one. And I was itchy around where. So I always wear a skirt. And at the bottom, there's a pleat on it, like a turn up. And where that was against my leg was itching. Where the seam was against my thigh was itching. So it was where the seams were in my clothes. And I said, I'm just really itchy with it. And apparently, apart from the fact that she then said, we would put clothes in and they would come out with holes in like a rat's nest. And I said, I'm not too sure about this powder and I'm still itching with it. So she switched back to the one she used to use and it was fine. It stopped. So I said, I think that powder's a bit strong. You know, look at the hole in the T-shirt. Look at this. They found out months and months later that whatever it was in it was like destroying clothes. So it wasn't just us. Right, do not come back for another one because you will have had enough. I've decided you've had enough. I haven't seen that picture in the large from Mike because I was doing it on my iPhone. So let's have a look at his big, cheery little face. What's he like? It's like, look at that. That's virtually widescreen, isn't it? With our, now that's not a Billy bookcase behind it. That is a Boris bookcase with all our magazine rack things on it. Oh, look at his face. Like that. Oh, Tracy's been to the hairdressers. My fringe is a thing of the past. That's bangs in the States, isn't it? It got to the stage where it was bothering me. But I'm well past that now. So I don't really have that anymore. What was my fringe that was done in February? That would be up to about there. I would say it's about 5 inches longer now. So it's actually touching my chin. So I really can do a Dougal right now. I'm not sure what I would do with it anymore, to be honest. So I don't mind not going to the hairdressers. But then I can tie it back. Mike's getting to the stage where he really needs it doing. He won't admit it. I thought that Tracy's nan sounds the most amazing lady. So absolutely, she's on our list for Saturday to have that played. Oh, Anthony's found something he missed about work. The space. When I've been doing the newsletters, the home office is a lot smaller than the office at work. Yeah, I think something like that. I actually have in the office usually. When I got my Mac, in fact, why did I have it set up like that? I have no idea. But when I got my Mac in 2006, it went on the desk that I work at now. But back then, that desk was empty. So all that was on the top of it was two CD racks. Now, I know that sounds... They were proper wooden CD racks that you would have stood there with music CDs in. Or screwed to the wall with music CDs in. But I had them flat on the desk, used like a huge index box. And there were CDs in it, and they weren't in plastic boxes. They were in cardboard wallets. And the desk was empty because I would do jobs on it, like you're talking about with the newsletter. And then when my PC was on the desk in the window, I can only assume it was on the desk in the window because I had a monitor bracket screwed to the wall. This was in the days when monitors weren't CRT. They were, they're not flat screens. They were the hulking ones and heavy. So I had this monitor bracket on the wall that had another monitor on it. And that would only have worked on that bit of wall because it's a bay window. So I can only assume that's why it was laid out like that. But because the Mac went on this desk, I just started using this desk. And the PC stayed on the desk it was on for 2 years. And at the 2 year mark, I decided I'd finally shift my mail. So I was using Outlook on the PC for mail for 2 years after I got a Mac. I could access my mail through the mail client on the Mac, but there was nothing in the way of backups going on. So I deliberately took the decision to keep Outlook for backing up the mail. So that was mainly admin. Then at the 2 year mark, I decided I would buy Mail Archiver for the Mac. So that solved a problem and I got rid of the PC. So they got moved out totally, which meant this desk in the window is completely empty. So that's the desk that I do jobs on where you need to spread stuff out. But I admit, in here, we need the desk more than we need the space of the desk. But for a lot of people, they don't have that option. And then it is difficult. Then you're talking about the kitchen table, aren't you? Right. So Kim says, can't use powder in the laundry. You're allergic. You've used a liquid designed for newborns. Wow, I don't think we've got that over here. There was some kind of fairy stuff, but I don't know what it is they put in the powder, but it makes me itch something chronic. That happened again about a year ago. And I said to Mike, have you switched powders? And he said, well, they sent a different one. And I said, I'm itchy. He said, so am I. So I don't know what they put in it, but not good to actually use it, is it? All of Tracy's family have a chemical reaction to certain soap powders. And they produce a horrible smell. Oh, wow. I think there is something in it. The idea was with this one, and I think it was it aerial powder? But the idea of it was that it kept the clothes clean. But once it had been out long enough and they'd done these tests on it, a black sweatshirt that went into the wash, after it'd been washed about 5 times, was basically a light grey. So it must have been incredibly powerful. It does make me wonder about people developing other illnesses, like certain forms of cancer and stuff. We're exposed to so much in terms of chemicals. It's amazing that it's not more prevalent. So steer away from it. Need to order some hair trimmers. But he wouldn't be able to use them himself, I don't think, and that'd leave me with it, and then it all might go terribly wrong. We'll get on it. Oh, that is lovely that you had such a wonderful nan. I only knew one of my grandmothers. My dad's mum died when he was a baby, really young. He has no memory of her at all. But my gran was lovely. She wanted to do a lot more than she could do because of this arthritis. But the reason that she got arthritis was she worked all her life. Despite looking after the entire family, she worked all her life. She worked in a bottling plant during the war where she lost a finger. But when that was over, she would go out and she would clean for people, but not clean like, waft a duster at it. She would clean where she's on her hands and knees with a scrubbing brush. And hence, before she was 40, her knees had gone completely. But she was wonderful to play with. She didn't mind playing, whereas mum and dad were always so busy. So my favourite game to play with her, which I look back and I think, what exactly is that? But she played along, bless her, was post offices. I was obsessed with post offices. And I had little cards that I could stamp that came from my granddad. And I think I mentioned he got these cards. They were like little tickets. And I had no idea, but they were lovely. They're all different colours. And they looked just like bus tickets, which was another one of my favourite games, because I loved on the buses. And These cards were beautifully coloured, little rainbow things, all kinds of stuff. I didn't realise that they were from the... Well, I knew he went to the dogs. He went to the dog racing and he put bets on. But when he came home and he had a fistful of these things, you know, there's only six races, and he'd come home and he'd have like 50 of these cards. And he said, I picked them up. They were abandoned. I picked them up. And my gran's looking at him thinking, no, you've been betting too much. But bless him, he did it because I like the tickets. And the thing was, if the ticket was a winner, you had to give it in anyway. So the ones I ended up with were the ones that weren't the winners. And she sat there and she played post offices with me. Happy, happy, happy memories of her. Absolutely. Oh, they're advertising a trimmer, are they? Oh, right. Let's have a look at that. Get hairy scary, literally. Oh, you see, you are. It's supposed to be as simple, isn't it? As putting on the end and then just doing it. And I've just got this vision of Mike ending up with like an inverse mohawk. It's scary. But we're going to have to do something before he disappears under it. But, you know, there are people who aim to have their hair like that. I've got a friend at church whose daughter got married, and we didn't know the daughter or the son-in-law. And then the next we hear she's pregnant. So the husband then drives her up to church because she's pregnant by this stage. And he gets out of the car, and luckily our friend had said, he's the one with the hair, you won't miss him. And he gets out of the car and his hair was probably as long as Mike's is now. And it was exactly the same type of like curls sticking out all over hair. But he liked it like that. He wanted to wear it like that. Obviously, Mike would not choose to have his hair this long. But what's comical is the things that people say to us. So he's gone in this meeting now and it'll be like, oh, so look at your hair. And I'm like, why would people say that? I mean, if they're... Like us guys, we can all have a laugh with each other. But you know, these are people that I wouldn't particularly choose to have a laugh with. So why are you laughing at Mike's hair? I don't get that. At least Mike, not got COVID. But these people are dashing out to the shops and having their hair done and stuff. And is it worth it? Would you dash out to have your hair done if there was a chance, you know, it wasn't good? Because our stats here, not good. Not good at all. And getting worse by the minute. Let it grow if it wants. Who cares how long it gets? I don't, Kim. I really don't mind. But Mike's not comfortable with it. So he's going at some point to have to let me do it. When he's got enough Dutch courage, which may come in a bottle this Christmas, he probably will. Oh, I've not heard of those liquid detergent type things. Is that what's in it? I shall look that up, Tracy. She sounds so talented, Tracy, all the things she could do. There's no way my poor grandmother could touch the piano. She was just a lovely, kind person. But yours is very talented as well. Wow. Happy, happy memories. Gran did have a piano. It was funny that, you know, they were so poor when Mum and her sister were growing up. And yet she insisted they had piano lessons. You know, and she would be going out and earning the money for the piano lessons in a time way before women did that. She just thought it was important for them. But Mum, like, said to me, you know, I'm not going to make you play an instrument. If you want to play an instrument, play one. If you want piano lessons, I'll get you piano lessons. If you want horse riding lessons, I'll get you that. She said, but I'm not going to force you into it. Because, you know, she was doing like work for exams on the piano, and she wasn't something that she particularly enjoyed. It was just something that my grandmother thought that she should do. But the thing was, Gran couldn't play a note. So I don't know where the idea came from that it was as important as she made out it was, because she couldn't do it, nor did she have any desire to do it. Oh, what are parents and grandparents like? Oh, I remember when you first trimmed Kiva, Kim. And we said, how have you got on? And you said, I've only done one half. Was it one leg at a time? It's a lot easier trimming Kiva than you thought it might be. And she won't stand still. We're very, very, very blessed that Lola doesn't need trimming. Because she doesn't take a brushing that well. She's a true Sammy. She's not interested. She's happier if she's filthy. Let's just say that. But we do need to get her ear knots out. And she does not like that. And I'm always so careful with that. Because as you're feeling the ear knot, it feels like soft and squishy. But so does her ear. So you need to make absolutely certain where you're trimming. So it's done very, very carefully. Only when she's really in the mood. Luckily, unlike Maya, Maya was never in the mood to be tinkered with. But she does get to a point where she's incredibly relaxed. So night times when we would do that. So she's on the heated blanket, obviously. I can't be expected to go in there on a cold quilt. And when she's all docile, then she will let us, like, well, she thinks we're stroking her. She doesn't see the scissors hovering meaningfully by her ears. But I can't imagine trying to do the whole trim thing. I remember when Ollie first came, and he was like the first dog we'd spent a lot of time with since Maya. And I said to Mike, you know, he's lovely. I said, and he's playful and everything. I said, but there's just like no connection there at all. Much as I love dogs, there's just no connection. When he came back the second time, I realised what it was. He was due a trim the first time. In fact, that was where they took him the day he left. When they came back, they took him straight to the groomers. Couldn't see his eyes. So it was just like having like cousin It meandering around. You couldn't get a connection with his eyes. The second time he came back, he'd just been to the groomers. And there he was, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And there was that connection because you could see his eyes. That's so important, isn't it? But I would be very... I'd be scared to death of trimming around their eyes and anywhere delicate. I would. Although, having said that, I'm the medical one. So the worst occasion with that was when Maya came back. He'd stuck his head in a bush somewhere and he'd got some ticks stuck on his head. The head ones were bad enough because you can't just pull the body off. You've got to get the legs out. So the way to do that is either to burn them off, which the vet recommended. Don't do that. Not to a Sammy with fur. Or use Vaseline to put it on so they die and then you can pull them out. The problem was one was right next to his eyeball. It was just underneath his eyelashes. And I said, it's got to come out. It's got to come out now. So I've not got time to play around. I spoke to the vet. That was the time the vet said burn them off. And I said, have I not explained just how close it is to his eyeball? But it was a Saturday afternoon and he didn't want to do it. So I ended up having to do it. It took three of us to hold him. I did manage it. But that's hairy scary enough for me. I do not wish for it to get any worse than that. Oh, that really was worrying. Right, so the stats in the village are good. The girl's done your hair since she was 16. She's paranoid about catching COVID. She serves a retirement home. She's very careful. You are very, very lucky. Here they just unceremoniously shut the hairdressers. There was a hairdresser who set up a salon in her basement, got fined 10,000, and another one who refused to close, who got fined 26,000. I know it's terrible. For, you know, that's what you do. It's a personal service and therefore, but, you know, you are getting 80% of your salary. So you're just going to have to suck it up. But they're not, which gets the police involved, which causes problems with that. So. Nan was offered a scholarship to go to art school. I had to say no. She was expected to look after her elderly grandparents and disabled mother. That was what it was like in those days, wasn't it? But what a talent. What a talent. Several days for trimming. They did one leg at a time. You were very brave, Kim. I would have run away screaming. Oh, Anthony learnt to play the organ. Didn't do any exams, just for the enjoyment of doing it. Doing exams in school wasn't nice to be doing something. It was nice to be doing something with no exams. Totally agree. I got an organ for Christmas. I wanted one of those. Bon Tempi, if you remember them. And we had a gentleman living next door. When we moved in, he'd only just lost his wife and he wasn't that old. You know, he was to me when I was like, when we moved in, I was 12. But he was only sort of 55, 56, something like that. And this particular Christmas, I get the organ that I want. I was hoping that I would, but just before Christmas, my cousin ended up being dashed into hospital. he got an infection in a rather delicate place. So he ended up having to be circumcised. You can work out the delicate place. So that is relevant to the story, honestly. So Christmas Day comes. The organ arrives. No. This story's not what you're thinking, given it was an organ. No, it's not that. I must have been 13. About 13, I would guess. 12 or 13 at the time. And he was 6 years younger. So he was 6 or 7 years old. So he was only a boy. So Christmas Day comes. Owen writes the presents. There's the organ. Starts banging out the tunes on it. And I could actually play. So I was actually playing things like Christmas carols and stuff. They turn up for their Christmas Day visit because they always did the rounds on Christmas Day with the visits. So he comes in. I think he'd been out of hospital probably about 10 days, a week to 10 days. And he was saying, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And he didn't want to wear any clothes. He wanted to walk around naked from the waist down because it was the only way it didn't hurt. You could understand this. His dad's going mental. He doesn't want anybody to see his son, you know, newly trimmed, as it were, with no pants on. But his mum was like, look, he's in pain, let him take his pants off. So he's saying, I want to play the organ. So he stood there next to me, naked from the waist down, playing the organ. And his mum says, let's take some pictures. I thought his dad was going to have a heart attack. I said, it's fine, I've got a blanket. So he's covered up with this blanket in these photographs. So whenever anybody mentions playing the organ, that's my abiding memory of it. Couple of days after that, the guy next door, we sees the guy next door and he said, oh, you're having fun on Christmas Day, weren't you? And I thought, oh my God, did he see through the window? Turned out he meant the organ. And it was because his grandchild had asked for exactly the same thing. And he'd bought it for him. So this organ of his was wrapped up at the front door, ready to go visit his son and give it to his grandson. He said, and I woke up and I went into the back room, which was, it backed onto our back room. And he said, all I could hear was this beautiful organ music. Thought was hearing things. Then he realised it was coming from us. What a Christmas that was. But we do have these photos of my cousin and I'm like, oh God, I remember that one. That's what happens if you get too close with your trimmer. Oh, I'd have to be careful with that one. I was terrified, Kim, but I think I was more terrified of him having this tick on him, particularly that close to his eye, that it would do more damage. It wouldn't have been as difficult to do if it had been in any way compliant, but he wasn't. He was never, ever compliant. So it was an absolute miracle that I got it out. And when I got it out with the tweezers, easing out each leg, they're like claws. I then had to put it on a cotton wool like square so I could make sure that all the legs had come out, that it didn't have a leg stuck in there. And I said, we'll put this in a bag, clear plastic bag, in case it turns septic, so we can go to the vet and say this is what it was, and yeah, that's it, I took it out, there it is. So we ended up with these dead bodies lined up along the mantelpiece, and I'm marking them, like, that one was near his eye, that one was the one near his ear, that one was in the middle of his head, all labelled. No wonder the vets look at me strange, but there you go. Tracy's so talented. Not only multilingual, but also be able to play the piano. Could have asked the neighbours if I could come round. Yeah, the Bon Tempis, I think, were over. I mean, they're not pianos, are they? Nowhere near. But you could learn to play a piano on it. Let's put it like that. I wanted one because we'd been to some friends of my mum and dad's and they had what I would call like a professional one. I think he actually played it. But you know the type where you can get like a beat going? And I think it had three tiers of keys. To me, it looked like the size of the one at the Blackpool Tower Ballroom. I mean, obviously it wasn't that big, but it was a lot bigger than this kiddie one that I had. And I just love playing it there. So I think that's why I asked for one. But I didn't get one like that. I got a reasonable sized one. Oh, what Christmas memories I have, Kim. I mean, from the back, yeah, he's in front of me in these pictures. And from the back, I'm like, yeah, that's a lovely view, isn't it? At least I had the blanket. You're pretty bad at piano. You must be better than me, Tracy. I can play for Fernando on the piano. Or I could do a good few years ago. That was my gran's piano. Oh, no, see, Kim's talented as well. Played the oboe, drove your father mad to practice before he came home. Now, with Mike, it was the clarinet. And I think it was because, I mean, I don't think Mike, I think Mike did piano as well. Don't quote me on that. Obviously, neither of us musical inclined in the slightest way at all anymore. But I think back then it was because his dad played it. So there was a clarinet at home. But he said he wasn't very good. And then his dad said he wasn't very good either. But his dad loved jazz music. He loved going to jazz clubs. You're pretty good on the French horn. No, I'm not particularly good on anything musically. Let me think. Played the recorder as a child, badly. But now, of course, hello, Simon. Want the Swanee whistle, don't I? The clangers. Must get one for Christmas. I must do. Oh, and last year, of course, just around this time, we did the ladies' night and we had tambourines. So I was dancing around the dance floor with a tambourine. We were contemplating maracas as well, but I couldn't find them. And we got shakers, but I particularly like the tambourine. And if you also remember, because we got the tambourines for ladies' night last year, we were able to use the tambourines when it was Clap for Carers. It was us outside. Everyone else had pots and pans and we had tambourines. But I don't think playing the tambourine is like something I put on my CV. Put it like that. Simon, I'm loving that. I think I've said it before. My dad gave up the violin every time he played. The dog bit him. Oh, I can't imagine what our lot would make of a violin. Not me playing it anyway. Oh, my word. Oh, I think Anthony must have had the posh one here. Two manuals and foot pedals. Mine had plastic legs, but it don't think it had a foot pedal. I remember putting it together. There was the keyboard part, and then there was two plastic legs, and it was like, it was dark brown and a cream colour. And it also had a piece of wood that went between these legs at the back. So it was like enclosed. You basically like built a little U-shaped plinth for the thing. But I did play it. Do you know, it's probably still in the loft. Most stuff is probably still in the loft. Should I ever get in the loft, I'll let you know. I know what is in the loft. One of the best presents I ever got. I must have been about, we were in the old house, so I was no more than 8 or 9. And we'd been on holiday. And when we went on holiday, it was a rule I had to save up for my holiday all year. So if I wanted to go away with £2 a day for 2 weeks, I needed to save that up and have £30 to go on holiday with. So my Christmas money went in this holiday money and all kinds of stuff. And I usually did end up with £30. So this particular holiday, and I was allowed to spend it at £2 a day, and only £2 a day. And this particular holiday, I wanted to do multiple things with it. One was I'd seen this leotard. I'm not big on leotards. I don't know why I wanted a leotard, but I did. I think everyone was wearing one at the time. And there was a blue one with like a white V-shaped thing down the front, and I wanted it, but it was £4. So it was taken on holiday, and like the first day I wanted some rock, so I ended up with £1 left. And I had to save up within the holiday. So at the point I got to £4, I could give the £4 to Mum, and then the leotard was mine. Oh, it was all scientific. It was totally, totally scientific, our holidays, when it came to that. And I remember wanting, how much was it? It must have been about, it was all its money, let's put it like that. But it was the toy I really wanted. We went to Southport for the day, which is a little bit closer to home than Blackpool. And it's not a seasidey, but it does have like a pleasure beach, a mini pleasure beach, which is like a theme park with rides in it. But we went shopping, and there was this big shop, something like Debenhams would be now. And in the window, there was this beautiful toy, and I wanted it. It was a caravanette thing, guys, but like a Winnebago. And it was bright pink because it was a Cindy Winnebago, £28.99, which was all my holiday money. So there was no way I could have afforded it. But I was mesmerised. absolutely mesmerised. And Mum decided in the end, and I think I've mentioned this before, long story short, Mum went in. We went back about 7 days later and Mum went in to look at this thing, but I wasn't with her. So I thought she might be buying it. But I knew that she wouldn't, because the rules were rules. You either saved up and bought it yourself, and I did not have £28.99. Anyway, she came out and then they'd sold them all. So I wasn't having this no matter what. It wasn't a case of she would buy it and then I would buy it off for £1 a week. No, they didn't have any. And then when it came to Christmas, I was like, well, I don't know what I want for Christmas, so I'll have the money for Christmas. Because everywhere we looked for this thing, we could not find it. So Christmas came and there was this huge box. And it was like, no, that's not for you. We're taking that to so-and-so later. I thought, lovely. So I get the sack of presents and I was actually delirious that at the bottom of it, there was a doll that I'd wanted. I did mention I was only 8, didn't I? And I did have an Action Man as well. Really did. But it was a particular doll that I wanted, and it was over the limit. We were only allowed £5 for Christmas, and this doll was £8.99. But a friend had bought it because my dad had done something for him. So he said, money isn't an object, just tell me what she wants. So I got exactly the doll that I wanted. Then when we'd finished all of that, Mum said, you best open that one then, hadn't you? Which was this big box. And when I opened it, it was amazing. It was a Winnebago. It was a Tonka Winnebago. Now, Tonka used to make like really high quality toys, metal, heavy, virtually like scale models. They were that realistic. Oh, it was fabulous. So it wasn't the Winnebago I'd seen in the window, but that was like cheap plastic. And I thought, God knows how much this must have cost them. I think when I did get the price out of her, I think it was nearer the 50 mark than the £28.99. But she knew how much I wanted the other one. And when she saw that one, she rang the shop and she said, you know, I'm looking for this Winnebago, blah, blah. And she explained it. And they said, no, we've not got that. We have got a Winnebago in, though. And Mum was like, well, if you've got Winnebago, how much like that one is it? And he said, well, no. He said, it's not really for a girl. You know, it's not pink. It's not for a girl. She said, I'm on my way. Because he only had one in stock. When she got there, she was like, this is fabulous. And it was. It had everything. The steering wheel turned, the wheels. It was like a miniature model of the real thing. So that's probably my favourite ever Christmas present. Not just because of the actual gift itself, but she must have spent over 6 months tracking this thing down. Because I missed out on the other one because of rules to do with money. But as Tracy says, good practice. When you did your whistle, Kiva turned to the... I'm sorry, Kiva. I'm always winding Kiva up, aren't I? And I don't mean to. I really don't mean to. Chickens downstairs. So there'll be no chicken noises. Unless she goes down and brings her up, and then there will be chicken noises. Oh, dear me. Yeah, I definitely don't need a violin. I could murder a violin. Absolutely. CQ, Deb, CQ. The saving up was... I appreciated it later. But I felt at the time, you know, can't we just... You know, can't we just, like, do without that for the moment? But she was right. She was right. 1 year was really comical. To this day, I do not know how this happened. And it's the kind of thing that's like... I look back at childhood with how petrified I was of my mother. Don't upset mother. And I to this day do not know how this happened. But whatever pocket money I got, I think it was £2 a week. So I could spend, what I would do was spend half of it and always try and put a pound away. And that would give me like £52 over the year. But sometimes, you know, you want to buy some stuff, like a record or something. And even back then they were like £5. So money did get spent, but I also got money at Christmas. So I had this very distant relative in Ireland who would always send me £5, which, you know, back in the day, that's like a huge amount. And it was the maximum I was allowed at Christmas anyway. So that was like amazing. So when we go on holiday, the pot would be empty. So 1st of September, it'd be like I'll start saving up again. And I always aim to have this £30 by the following summer. Well, this particular year, I'm keeping an eye on it. And I'm like, okay, it's got £2 and it's got £4 in it. Excellent. And then he's taking some out and then he's putting some in. So I'm keeping an eye on it. And I'm doing the divvy up. I'm counting up about Easter time. And there was £35 in it. And I'm like, but there shouldn't be. There should be 30. So I does the divvy up again and I'm making a list. You know, Auntie Molly gave me 5 for Christmas. And then there was 2 this week and 1 that week. And it came to £30. Where the heck had this other £5 come from? Couldn't work it out. Now, by this stage, Mum was like, and I'll sort your holiday money out. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's £5 too much in it. Not £5 short. And I'm like, I have no idea where it's come from. No idea. And I thought, I've got to take the £5 out. It's got to be right, if you're with me. I thought, well, where am I going to put £5 that Mum wouldn't find it? Because she found everything. She was like a bloodhound. What I did with it, so petrified that Mum would find £5 extra and think I'd nicked it from somewhere, took the £5 out and I made myself a bookmark. I used to buy a magazine called Look In. Who remembers that if you're in the UK? Look In. It was basically a TV style magazine for kids. And they had interviews with pop groups and posters and stuff in it. So I took the front cover off one of these, because when I finished, I threw them away anyway. But I took the front cover off and I folded it up to make it look like a bookmark with the word Look In down the side. And I put the £5 in it and then I sellotaped around the edges. And I said to Mum, rather than throw this magazine away, I've made a bookmark with the cover. Aren't I clever? So Mum looked at it. She said, yeah, it's lovely that. Yes, I said, well, don't throw it away because it's my bookmark. I didn't tell her there was £5 note hidden in it. So I used it as a bookmark for 8 months until I remembered where the £5 had come from. And Mum said something about, you know, and then there was the money from Auntie Molly and there was the money from here and Uncle Frank. And I thought, oh, that £5 came from Uncle Frank. Anyway, it wasn't in the pot, was it? So she said, you're £5 short here. I said, oh, no. I said, I think I put that in the drawer. I dived upstairs, ripped this bookmark open, got the £5 and dashed back down and said, yes, it was at the bottom of the drawer, Mum, put it in. I have fond memories of that bookmark as well, because I then sealed it up again and carried on using it, or it would have looked highly suspicious. Oh, Tonka stuff was great. That was the only Tonka toy I had, but it must have been easy, 3 foot long. It is in the loft. I know it's in the loft because I wouldn't part with it. So I need to get that out one day and, you know, just have a look at it again. Definitely. When the Christmas tree goes back, because the Christmas tree's been up since May. But when it goes back, I'll have to say to Mike, can we try and see if we can find that? It must be up there somewhere. Anton remembers looking. They gave away things as well. One of them, that, oh, I wanted this. And they went out as soon as they came in. It wasn't even a pair of glasses. It was one of these things that looks like glasses that you would hold over your nose. So it's got like a cutout for your nose. And then it had a red, like, transparent thing on one side and a blue one on the other. And it gave you X-ray vision, or 3D vision. And I wanted this thing. And they sold out and I didn't get it. So that was one of the freebies they gave away. I'm assuming it's years old now. You know, that... You can't. I don't even think that magazine's going anymore. And you're not allowed to give kids these cheap plastic toys now either, are you? Because it's not friendly to the environment. That's nothing to what the Mackie D's is doing, never mind the Happy Meal bit. But you're not allowed to give kids plastic toys. Which makes me wonder about the things that are in crackers. We had some really good ones one year. There was like a miniature pack of cards and stuff, and we actually played with that. But most stuff, it does literally just get put in the bin, doesn't it? Oh, Kim's parents did something similar when you wanted a bike. You had to save and pay for half of the bike. They'd pay for the other half. They did the same thing for everything. To this day, you save. That's a good way to be, isn't it? It is a good way to be. We're slightly more, would I say, indulgent? Like we said with the computers, I don't actually need one. Mike said, I don't need one. I did. Mine's my old one. I mean, it's sat behind me right now. It's doing a job. The fans are going crazy. But the new one last week didn't break into a sweat. So I would say I did need one for what I do. But Mike said his was like on an indulgent whim. But now it's here and it's set up, I said, you totally did the right thing. Because we are working from home for the foreseeable. I mean, you can always tell how long the government are expecting it when you look at when the furlough scheme ends. He's just extended it to the end of April next year. So the end of the furlough scheme plus 2 months, in my mind, is when it would be safe, technically speaking, for Mike to go back to work. So you're looking at the end of June at the earliest. But I did just say to him today, I think we'll be sat here in lockdown this time next year, the way it's going. So for him, he's got his old iMac in the studio with him where he's spending his working week, where he does his meetings, where he is now. Whereas before, it was one of my old computers that was in there and it didn't even have an account on for him. So what difference that made for him was he sat in front of a computer that, yes, he can use it, but it's not his iCloud that's logged in. It's not his Dropbox that's logged in. It's not his Google Drive that's logged in. Whereas now it is. So given that it's him that's working in there more than me now, it made sense. But, you know, we're well aware of the fact that to most people, if you say we just bought 2 iMacs, oh, and by the way, we paid another £850 for RAM, that could be considered indulgent. Luckily, we don't spend our money on anything else. Anything at all. Not cars, not holidays, nothing. But I appreciate how that sounds. And for some people, that is a huge thing that they need to think about for never and ever. Amen. But yes, I do the saving thing. I always try and think it's going to cost X, but it will enable you to earn Y. And as long as Y is more than X, then I'm fine. So luckily, I am in that position. In fact, I got the statement from one of the companies that I do training for. And I looked at it and I thought, that's got to be a mistake. It was 60% more for November than any other month. And I'm like, what happened there then? Were more people watching the videos? Apparently so. Apparently, Black Friday come Thanksgiving is when people think about self-improvement. So that was a nice surprise, given what I'd spent. It was the first magazine Anthony got. Do you know, I think it was my first magazine. We didn't have it delivered because we were in the process of moving. And when we moved to this absolute hellhole of a village in the middle of absolute nowhere. So Dad had to get it, or Mum had to get it. So no, I didn't feel grown up because I had it delivered. And I also, after I got looking, so I must have been about 9 or 10 at this point, I also used to buy Roy of the Rovers every week, religiously, which was a football magazine. Cartoons, you know, comic strips, but all to do with football. And it turned out when I met Mike, he used to get Roy of the Rovers as well. So we had that in common and we could talk all about Roy of the Rovers. One of the virologists in Seattle said he thinks we'll all be vaccinated but by July. You're not so sure. We were told yesterday they'd done 157,000 in a week, I think. And on the rate that they were going, bearing in mind a few other factors, only half the population would be done by this time next year. We've also been told that some vaccine got thrown away because it was mislabeled. How does that happen? So I'm not so sure either. I don't think it'll be by the summer. But people seem willing to take a risk. They seem to be, obviously not us guys, because we've got sense. But people are like, I want to go out. And they want to go out more than they want to think about the consequences of going out, is what I would say. Which I must admit, I can't understand. I really can't. There was a heartbreaking story about a boy. He was 10. And he got these symptoms, but they weren't COVID symptoms. They weren't the cough. They weren't anything. No COVID symptoms. He didn't lose his sense of smell and whatever. None of that. Taste and smell. It was just seemed a bit fluey. So they rings. We have a number here that you can ring, which is called NHS Direct. And it's where, please don't go to a hospital. Just ring this number and tell them what's wrong. And this couple ring and they say, it sounds like some kind of allergy or flu, but take him to the hospital anyway. So they get him to the hospital. This was in Scotland. I think it was in Paisley. And he'd only been there about 5 minutes before they dash him up to ICU. And he spent 3.5 days in a coma. a whole week in intensive care, and he did test positive for COVID, but as I say, he had no COVID symptoms. So the symptoms were of a disease that COVID morphs into in children called Kawasaki disease. So basically the kid had COVID and nearly died. He's 10 and he had no underlying conditions whatsoever. So I know it's unlikely, but do you want to take that chance? And Mike was saying about it being, was it 95% effective, one of these vaccines? And I said, but you wouldn't know if you were in the 5%. And he said, no, but 95% is like a good percentage. And I said, well, yeah, it is a good percentage. I said, but if you had, you know, 20 chambers on a gun and you put a bullet in one, so there was a good chance you wouldn't blow your brains out, would you pull the trigger? And he looked at me and went, well, no, obviously. I said, well, there you go. And that's how I feel about, you know, when children like that are suffering. And the other thing is, as we know with Simon, what are the long COVID effects of that on that child? You have no idea. No idea. It's scary. Stay away from it all. Stay at home. Deb wanted a guitar in the 8th grade. Took you a year to save up. Saved up everything. Oh, that's so sweet. Sitting money, lunch money. Wow. Did you get it? And was it worth the wait? Mike wants to play the guitar. And he does have a guitar. Did you hear the saga of me buying him a guitar? That was a good one. I decided, he'd gone on about a guitar for so long, that I get him a guitar. So I does the Amazons and finds a guitar. And it had to come when it came because it was one of the special deals. So it came because it was a special deal. It came with a case and a stand and all kinds of stuff. So I thought, this is the one. So I ordered it, and it was too big to be delivered to a locker. But I did check that the contents of the package were concealed, because the last thing I needed was Mike falling over a package that said I'm a guitar on it. Anyway, it said ships in, you know, incognito packaging for Christmas. I thought, perfect. Perfect. So the day it shipped, he was due to be at work. Only thing was, it turns out he's going to work from home. I thought, oh no, the guitar's coming. I thought, no, it'll be fine. You know, it's in incognito packaging. It'll be fine. Anyway, the Amazon man turned up, and the Amazon man had more than the guitar he was delivering, thankfully. So I'm stood there hovering, and Mike's looking at me, because I don't do that. I leave it to him. You know, if he wants to go to the door and get the stuff, that's fine. But I said, oh, well, I was coming down anyway. And he's looking at me like, you don't leave the office during the day. But, you know, I thought, he's going to twig here. It was quite close to Christmas at this stage. Anyway, luckily, I think we were ordering some stuff for some Catinian do. So the guy comes up the path and he puts down the first box. And I could tell by looking at it, it wasn't big enough to be a guitar. So I'm thinking, I'll have to give this to Mike, and I'll have to say, you know, put this in the garage, which would mean he'd have to open up the kitchen door, the extension door, the garage door, put the thing in there, lock the garage door, lock the extension door, lock the kitchen door, by which time the guy might have come back with the guitar. Well, I glances round and I sees the delivery man walking up the path with the guitar in a guitar-sized box and shape. This box was the shape of a guitar. It was plain, but there was no denying what was in it. It was either that or you know, the old violin cases with a gun in it. And I'm looking and I'm horror-struck. I'm thinking, how am I going to hide that? It's the shape of a guitar. And all that was in my brain was, it's the shape of a guitar. So I takes it off him and I shoves it in the porch. And I said, bring me another box. So he brings the other boxes in. And I says to Mike, can you just put these outside? So with the front door wide open, this was pre-Lola and post-Mayor. With the front door wide open, Mike heads off into the back with his box of whatever it was for the Catinians. I grabs the box with a guitar in it, runs into the front room. And I'm looking around the front room frantically. We're like, where am I going to put this? And I ended up hiding it under the sofa. Now, you need to appreciate that under the sofa, it's got like IKEA legs. So it's lifted off the floor by about 7 inches. But already under there, is the screen that we use with our projector when we go out. So I had to shove it on top of that. Then I had to get out of the front room, back through the hall and to the front door before Mike noticed that I'd taken delivery of something and hidden it. So I'm stood there by the front door. And you know when you're trying to look nonchalant, leaning gently on the front door with one arm, sounding like a steam train because I've been running around and crawling under the sofa. He comes back in. He says, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He says, "You look a bit flushed." I said, no, I'm fine." Should have seen the state of me. Turned out, when he got it on Christmas Day, I'd wrapped it up by this stage in wrapping paper. So by this point, it was a guitar in a case, in a box, the shape of a guitar, and it was wrapped in wrapping paper. I hands it over to him. He says, "Oh, this is a bit exciting, isn't it?" And I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, you're going to know it's a guitar because, you know, it's the shape of a guitar. Did I mention that, Mike? It's the shape of a guitar. He had not got a clue what was in it. And I'm thinking there was no rush then, was there? To any other normal person on the planet, this was a guitar. He had no idea. He even got to the point, he'd got the wrapper off it. That left him with the plain brown wrapping. He takes the plain brown wrapping off it, and it actually took looking at the picture on the front of the box inside that to work out it was a guitar. And I'm just sat there, head in hands, and then I told him the story that the guy had turned up with it a day early and he was there and he shouldn't have been there, and then I had to hide it. I totally agree, Kim. Should be on the TV. But can you imagine, though, after all that, he said, "Oh, what's this?" And I'm thinking, well, it's a bit like the old violin case, isn't it? Does it look like a violin case? It's probably a violin then. No, it's a guitar, Mike. He had no idea. What can I say? What can I do with him? Let's have a look up here. Oh, the Beano and the Dandy. I didn't get the Beano and the Dandy, but my dad loved that. He absolutely loved... Who was the guy in the Beano? Not Dennis the Menace, the other guy. The one who ate the pies. The cow pies. Desperate Dan. Oh, my dad loved that. He absolutely loved it. Oh, Twinkle. I remember Twinkle. I had one called Tracy. Do you remember the magazine called Tracy? That was full of, like, again, cartoon strips, but mainly like girl type cartoon strips. So we had Tracy and Roy of the Rovers. I like to see both sides of life, boys and girls. And you didn't get sweets out there. Oh, wow. Isn't it sad, this Kawasaki thing? Because you don't, if there's no preconditions that make you susceptible to it, how are you supposed to protect your child from it? If it can just hit randomly. And I cannot imagine the abject horror of having a child who is so helpless in a coma in ICU in the middle of the COVID outbreak. Because we've had people that we know. One guy, I think he had a fall and he ended up in hospital. They did a test on the way in. They've got to test everybody to make sure they've not got COVID. He didn't have COVID. So they take him in to set the leg. And 3 days later, he's got COVID. So now that's a problem. On top of the problem that he already had. It's just horrific. Absolutely horrific. When you say the number isn't surprising, Tracy, is that generally or during the COVID outbreak? Are children getting this more during the COVID outbreak because that's what COVID morphs into? Or is that just general? I guess 95% is good, Kim, when we're not in the middle of a global pandemic. So if it was like the flu vaccine, flu isn't as, I know it can be serious, but it's generally not as serious. And it doesn't seem to spread like this spreads. So yes, 95% is great. But, you know, even if I'd had it, I'd be like, well, you know, it's not 100%. You could get it anyway. So you're still going to have to be careful and wash your hands and all the other things that people don't seem to be bothered about anymore. I think the problem's humanity, Kim, not the vaccine. Oh, Deb's got it and played it for years. Hubby bought one right after they got married. Graduation gift. Oh, how lovely. A music major, voice and guitar. Oh, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. I love people who've got talent like that. Mine was just hard work. I had to teach myself Latin to get into law school, that kind of stuff. But that doesn't impress. You don't do Latin for the enjoyment of doing it. But there's a lot of people say that if you study what you love, then you don't love it anymore. But it sounds like you do. We have a College of Music in Manchester, and they put on Christmas concert type stuff, and they are fabulous. Fabulous. Even though they're not graduates or whatever, some of them are first years, but they're amazing. We love going to things like that. Or we used to when we could get out. There you go. Simon loved the Beano. Oh, that reminds me, Simon. How's the keyboard? Is it charged now? Desperate Dan, that was the man. Desperate Dan, the pie man. Dad loved him. My mum used to call, when she made like a beef pie, she'd say to him, "It's cow pie tonight." He'd get excited. Terribly politically correct by today's standards. Politically incorrect, I presume. Apparently speaking Native American, so using the words, want to catch me, buffalo. Yeah, but it was fun, wasn't it? It was fun. I do remember Dennis the Menish and Nasher, isn't it? But I didn't, you know, I would see the odd one because Dad would be like reading it. He'd go in and ostensibly it'd be, "I'm going in for the paper." And the next minute he's reading the Beano. He just wanted to see the cow pie bit for this week. But we're hoping that the keyboard is now charged and up and running. And now we know that the caps lock thing is you, Simon, and not the keyboard. Oh, we're hoping that. Let us know. Is it there? Is it done? I'm having great fun with the mouse because I use a different mouse. But I've noticed setting a machine up from scratch how much of the interface looks appalling if you have it set for this third-party mouse. Whereas if you use the actual mouse, I also noticed with the mouse, it had navigation capabilities within Vivaldi that I knew nothing about because I didn't use the Apple mouse. So I've got two mice on the desk at the moment, making a decision between them, but actually just pretty much swapping them around depending on the job I'm doing. The keyboard is great, particularly the pairing and the connection speed of the 4x Bluetooth buttons, like I said. You might need to keep a wired keyboard handy. We always have a wired keyboard handy, Simon. You definitely need that. I don't have my Mac wired keyboard that handy, but I do have a wired PC keyboard that is on a shelf behind me for emergencies. Obviously, it works on the Mac, and I used it when I had a physical PC, which I still have. It's an Acer laptop, but it got itself caught in a boot loop about 18 months ago. So I said to Mike, "Can you sort that?" And I'm waiting for him to have a look at it, because he managed to fix his mother's. His mum's had exactly the same fault mine did, went into this boot loop. But obviously, middle of COVID, what can you do? He wasn't going to go down and fix it. So he gave her, we had matching Acer laptops. He gave her his laptop and said, "Use that while I have a look at this one." So they did the laptop swap. He gets it back, de-COVIDs it, sets it all up, managed to get it working and set up. So he tells her about 5 days later. He says, "Oh, I'll fix your laptop, by the way, so, you know, we can swap them when you're ready." And she went, "Oh." And he said, "What?" She said, "I thought that was dead." He said, "Well, it's good news. It's not dead." And she went, "Right." And he said, "What's the matter? Should I like this one?" So he said, "We'll keep that one then." Parents, it's like having kids, isn't it? You get to a certain age and having a parent is just like having a kid. So, yeah, oh, pro tip, always have a wired keyboard. Like, for, was it Anthony? It was someone in here who said, and then I turned off the Bluetooth keyboard and mouse and then realised, yeah, I can't turn Bluetooth off because the keyboard and mouse don't work. I've done that myself. Honestly, I have. You're turning off Bluetooth because you're trying something. You want to kickstart the Bluetooth. So you turn it off with a vision to turning it back on, and then you realise that the mouse was Bluetooth. And that was not the best idea you ever had. At which point I like reach behind me and I pull out a wired mouse and a wired keyboard and start again. But at least you're happy with it. What you really need is a wired F12 button. Wish you could get just that. Would that be possible, Simon, with one of those tiny numeric keypad things that's wired? Could you program that to be F12? I got a Bluetooth one of those to create a navigator with. And I did, and it worked. I did it with Keyboard Maestro. But then I got the Stream Deck, the Elgato. Is it Elgato or Elgato? Tracy will know. I got that anyway. And that's automatic and etc. So I don't need to worry about it. That's what you need, Simon. Do you remember ages ago there was a skit going round of a keyboard, the latest Apple keyboard, and it was two buttons. There was also one going round. It had basically had the Apple logo on it, and that was it. And there was a three-button version going round with Alt-Control-Delete on it, and it said, like, you know, this is a keyboard of the future. There was just the three buttons. That's what you need. One of those. One of those is what you need. So fingers crossed you can find one of those. The Beano is an enzyme you take for gas. That's because of the cow pies. Isn't that weird? Beano here, you would say it was a Beano, as in it was a bit of like a raucous party. Or the cartoon. Yeah, the magazine. Yes. Oh, no, that is strange. But this is what we say. It's strange we speak the same language because there's so much that's different. So much that's different. But I'm very glad that you're happy with the keyboard, Simon. So we need to write back and tell the people who said it's not right, keys aren't right, that they're wrong. The keys are not squidgy. The keys are perfect. The whole keyboard is perfect. I use the buttons to switch between my main Mac, my secondary Mac, my laptop and one of the iPads. And it's instant. It's one of the best Bluetooth things I think I've ever seen. Because Bluetooth does have a bit of a rep, doesn't it? And it can be awkward. That's why when I get some headphones, like the ones that I sleep in, you're right next to the phone. But sometimes I'm wearing them and I walk into the bathroom. And it's only when I get right across the other side of the bathroom, it starts complaining. Because by then I'm like 15, 20 metres away from the phone. But they don't just cut out at the 2 foot mark, which they used to a few years ago. So very, very happy with mine. So glad you're happy with yours. Oh, he's having an idea. Can I program one of the buttons on the Logitech mouse, which has its own dongle thing, to emulate F12? Or if that's done in the software after the connection. I believe that is done in the software after the connection. But there are devices that you can program. You know, like just single button things or click things. That keep it in some kind of programmable, was it ERAM? EPRAM. Basically, it keeps it in memory. It's got a little chip on it, erasable programmable RAM. If you could get one of those, then that would work. The one I've seen that's similar to that is like a foot pedal. And the idea with it is it's got play and pause. And then the pedals on the right and the left are to go forwards and back for dictation. And they are, you program them, but it actually burns it onto a ROM. But it's erasable. That's what you need, something like that. There must be something. There must be something. There's your challenge for the night, Simon. Do that. So I'm going to head off now. Mike's in his meeting. It's all quiet. The football match is on. So he's also taken an iPad in so he can watch the match on Amazon. It is actually on Amazon tonight and the quality is stunning. Unbelievable quality. And true to form, they've been playing 18 minutes and United are losing 1-0. So he's not going to be in the best frame of mind. But don't worry, United only play the last 10 minutes of a match. And usually they manage to muster enough to win the game. So fingers crossed, otherwise he's going to be not a happy bunny. And we will be back with you tomorrow when it is Two Show Friday. Yes, I know, I've not sent the email out yet. I'm still pondering the actual running order. When I make my mind up, which I will do in the next 20 minutes or so, we will sort a mail out for later tonight. So fingers crossed that I do actually make my mind up. Contemplating throwing in making snow. Obviously not a physical thing. Making snow in Affinity Photo. Realistic snow. Not horribly fake snow. Realistic snow. Because it was when the last call came in for that. I think I've had two tweety things, DMs, and three emails. So making snow apparently you're interested in. Excellent. Right, I'm going to have a look at that link, Simon, and we shall have a chat about that tomorrow. But for the moment, I want to say good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.